Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you're using it to your advantage. Thousands and thousands of you are, tens of thousands of you are, maybe something in the millions are using it to your advantage, and I hope you'll continue to do so. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. Jeffrey Stanton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Jeffrey is the author of Visible Employee. He is also director of the Syracuse University's Information Security Evaluation Project, and he's our new friend. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
And you actually have a co-author, too, don't you?
I do. It's Catherine Stamm, who's a professor at SUNY Institute of Technology in Utica, New York.
Right. Now, my audience is more familiar today than they've ever been in the past about the importance of protecting our own property, our own intellectual property. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the big challenge that we had with employees was employee theft, pilferage, walking out the door with our stuff from the warehouse, that kind of thing. Today, the information that we have, the electronic stuff we have, not only about the company, but also about our customers, can be more valuable than stuff that we can put in our pockets. And so more and more of us are aware of the importance of protecting these things. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to think about protecting them from our employees, don't we?
Absolutely. And also our computer systems make it that much easier to commit financial frauds, which used to actually require the movement of physical assets like currency and checks.
Right. Absolutely. And of course, some of the big headline issues that have come up lately have been missing laptops. The Veterans Affairs Organization lost a laptop. We had the challenge with the atomic. What was it, out in Los Alamos?
Department of Energy, I think.
Yes, Department of Energy. That's right, out in Arizona, I guess it was. What was that, about 8 or 10 years ago, something like that? There was a laptop missing. By the way, when the Veterans Affairs lost that laptop, and the period that they lost however many millions of pieces of information of veterans, my records may have been in that group because that was the period of time that I was part of the military.
And that's exactly the kind of issue that we discuss in the book, because the employee that took the laptop out of the Veterans Administration with the records on it wasn't necessarily the one who was at fault. There was a lack of policies, a lack of policy enforcement, and just general inattention by managers, apparently, that led to the possibility of that laptop being stolen. So it's not always the employees who are at the center of these problems.
So the solution then, at least the beginning of the solution, is the policy of the organizations, right?
We believe so. Yeah, we need to sit down with managers, employees, and the information technology people all at the same table and try to work out the best rules for a particular company depending upon what its mission is and what it needs to protect. And then after that, we need to do two really important things. One is to monitor people's behavior relative to the policy to make sure people are following the rules. And then the third thing is enforcement of those policies to make sure that when there has been a breach of some type, that it's dealt with in a judicious way.
We have a lot of laptops in my organization, and I use an IBM ThinkPad. We all do around here because IBM is one of our corporate partners, and they're great. They're great machines. I recommend laptops to small business owners. I use my laptop on the road. I use it at home, and I put it on a docking station and hook it up to, you know, to a larger a monitor and keyboard when I'm, you know, when I'm in my office. And so it's an incredibly productive tool. It's the best tool that I've ever had in my life. I would not want to do without my laptop. But it is portable, and therefore it is more susceptible to being ripped off, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's something called the annual taxi survey, where researchers ask taxi drivers a bunch of questions about what kinds of personal belongings have been left in taxis over the past 6 months or a year, and inevitably they talk about the fact that people leave their laptops, they leave their PDAs, they leave their cell phones.
Have we lost him, Roger? Yeah, okay, we're going to get him back. I don't know what happened on the phone there, folks, but I haven't lost a laptop in a taxi, but I have lost a camera in a taxi, and it is pretty disconcerting. I still recommend, you know, regardless of all the challenges that and the potential challenges you have with laptops, I still recommend those, Jeffrey, and I'm sure you do too, don't you?
Absolutely, but there are steps that we can all take to make sure that when we have our laptop with us on a trip, that the information on there does not get compromised. One is that you should make sure to take only what you need and to back everything else up to a secure facility. Mm-hmm. Another is to encrypt the data that you do have so that it can't be stolen quite as easily.
The biggest challenge I think we have with small businesses, Jeffrey, is that we think that our stuff is not that precious, that valuable. A lot of people still aren't realizing how important their own intellectual property is. And even though they don't want to lose their laptop because it costs a lot of money, and even though they don't want to lose their work because they've got a lot of time spent in that, they don't always think about the value of what's inside there that could be to other people, especially if we have customer information in there, which we have an obligation, a fiduciary obligation, to protect. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jeffrey Stanton about surveillance of the workplace and therefore employees, and what should we do about that. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Stanton. He's the co-author of Visible Employee.
There's too much confusion.
The Godfather. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Godfather of small business. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Jeffrey Stanton is our guest and our new friend, the co-author of Visible Employee. Jeffrey, tell us where the book's available, please.
The book's available mainly online. You can try Amazon.com, or you can go directly to the publisher, which is called Information Today.
And they can find out also about it from your website, can't they?
That's right. That's visibleemployee.org. And if you go there and register, you might be chosen to receive a free copy of the book in our monthly drawing.
All right. So check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Visibleemployee.org. Visibleemployee.org. Okay, Jeffrey, let's talk about surveillance of the workplace, and is that something that's becoming more and more prevalent in the marketplace?
Absolutely. It's estimated that well over 60% of large businesses in the U.S. Use some type of employee monitoring with respect to the internet activities that employees do. Small businesses are not quite as far along that curve, but you can expect that in the near future, many small businesses will be monitoring pretty much all of employees' internet activities as well.
How does that manifest? Tell us how, whenever a company monitors the employee's internet activity, what is that? How does that come out in a report? What is that? How does that manifest into a management tool?
That does tend to come out in a report. Many companies, for instance, monitor the websites that employees visit, and although some take the active strategy of blocking certain domains, that can limit productivity because it's hard to anticipate always what domains an employee will need to visit.
Right.
With that being said, if an employee goes someplace that is considered to be suspicious, for instance, going to a site for making weapons or
right.
bombs or something, a flag gets raised, usually somewhere in the IT operation, and the IT people are responsible for informing the employee's manager what has taken place, and then the manager has to talk to the employee to see what's going on or to take subsequent action.
As long as the surveillance is about the work activity and in the workplace, for the most part, it's fair game, right? It's fair behavior.
Absolutely. In the United States, there are a few legal protections of employee privacy, and so organizations tend to have the legal right, although not necessarily the ethical obligation, to monitor what pretty much anything that employees do. Employees generally have expectations of privacy only in locker rooms and other areas reserved
right.
for personal activity.
Right. Well, and of course, the big concern for businesses is that an employee will use the internet, their internet connection for some kind of pornographic activity, especially pedophilia kind of things, where you know you there are certain things that you can do that the FBI can watch, and there have been many companies where the FBI have come in and literally taken out every computer in the building just because of one employee.
That's right, and if that doesn't end your business in and of itself, you know, the subsequent loss of productivity is going to. But even with activities that are not strictly illegal, they can cause a terrible loss of reputation for your company.
Right, right. What do you think is something? What's some advice that you would give to small businesses about this kind of thing?
Small businesses where all the employees know each other and know the boss, they should just talk about this and they should set the ground rules and they should agree that you know, everybody's well-being, everybody's paycheck is dependent upon not having some sort of failure of information security, some sort of loss of information or loss of productivity as a result of computers getting viruses, or loss of reputation because an employee did something silly. If they just talk about these things, that can serve the same function that official policy does in larger organizations.
So at least the boss should at least sit down with everybody and say, okay, folks, let's just agree that, you know, that certain behaviors are just not acceptable. You're going to hurt everyone potentially if you do these things. And at a minimum, talk about it, and then the next step would be to actually create a written policy.
That's right. Certainly any company with more than 25 or 50 people begins to get to the point where they need written rules
right.
That everybody can agree on. And so I would definitely recommend that for the businesses that are a little bit larger.
What about blog activity?
Well, blog activity can be a fantastic marketing tool, and so it's being used to an increasing extent by many businesses as a way of promoting their products and services. But at the same time, it's a place where it's easy to for an employee to make a mistake in terms of what they say, either unintentionally offending someone or making a promise on behalf of the business that the business can't fulfill.
Or so leaking some kind of proprietary information on a blog. When they thought they were doing something harmless, or maybe complaining about the company to somebody else, and it wound up being all over the internet. Those are concerns. Jeffrey, there's a lot more you can teach us. Will you come back another day?
I'd be happy to. That would be great.
The visibleemployee.org is the website. That's also the title of the book, withoutthe.org. Jeffrey, congratulations on the book, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Jeffrey Stanton, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Quick break, right back with Rick Pinion. We're going to talk about insurance after these messages. Stay with us. Make you say
that you love. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.